Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy back at it again. Welcome to another edition of the Recore Report, brought to you by you-know-who's the Buffalo Fanatics. Let's go, folks. It's soon approaching. The draft is soon approaching. Free agency has dwindled. There are still plenty big names out there that soon enough, they're going to take the cheap deal. But we're in a good position. The Bills are in a good position right now. And we're thankful that we got a really good GM in Brandon Bean. I don't care what folks may want to say about Brandon Bean. I know he's had some moments where you're like, oh, I don't know about that move, Brandon Bean. But he's had some moves where you're like, okay, I see why you're the GM. I mean, we have a franchise quarterback top three in the league. If not for Brandon Bean's boldness, if not for a little bit of luck here and there and some sway, we don't have a franchise quarterback, and we're probably still searching for a franchise quarterback. Since Josh has come out, has there been that top dude other than obviously Joe Burrow and a few quarterbacks? Maybe we wouldn't even have a chance to grab them. We would probably still be in quarterback purgatory as we speak. But the fact of the matter is this. We got a franchise quarterback. We got a number one receiver. We got a young and upcoming running back. The O-line is intact. We lost Mitch Morse, but we also got younger, more athletic. So there are some good things to view and to really acknowledge about this team. Defensively, some might say that we got worse. Defensively, some might say that we're right on par. Did we need to get younger? Absolutely. Did we have to make some moves? Yes. But there's a lot of things that we're going to tweak, and we're still tweaking as we go. So, anyways, as you guys pile into the room, a big shout out. You know what? I haven't shout out for a long time. I haven't shout out the Bing Squad, the Bing Biggity. The Bing Squad. You guys know exactly who you guys are. You guys are the ones, the day ones that have tuned in every single freaking week and showed out. And you have also been part of joining us and being a member, not just a subscriber, but a member of the Bing Squad. So we appreciate you. It really, I can't say enough. So much love to you guys. And we're going to keep it rolling. We've been at this for some time now, and we're going to keep that shit rolling. So, that being said, let's get right into our show. I wanted to really touch on, by the way, if you guys don't haven't noticed, I'm using a green screen today. I'm starting to mess around with that type of stuff. I want to see what it's like. So we brought a new addition to the squad that I haven't had a chance to really speak on. And that's our new safety, Mike Edwards. And folks, Big Mike is coming to the squad. And most might say, who? I'm not too familiar with Mike Edwards. Tell me more. What do we know? What do we need to know about him? Well, this is the same thing we did when Jordan Poyer was brought to the squad. We're like, who? Jordan Poyer? What? He was a cast off with the Browns. Like, no, nobody wanted his ass. 7 years. And we were like, holy crap, that was a dog. You knew that this brother was going to bring it every single time he stepped on this field. So we had to warm up to him. And that's what Bills Mafia is typically. You got to warm up when you don't know who certain players are. And they got to warm up to you and you warm up to them. That's just how it works. And then you find a balance on if you want to root for this player on their squad or you don't. It's just what it is, right? So that being said, we bring in Mike Edwards. And Mike Edwards, former Tampa Bay Buck, former Chief, Super Bowl winner, So he's got experience, right? And he's got instincts, and he's gotten a lot of love from his previous coaches. I mean, he played for Todd Bowles, and what Todd Bowles had to say was really glowing, right? Instinctive. What have we needed at the safety position? And what we don't want to obviously move away from is safeties that are instinctive, knowing where to be at the right place, right time, knowing the timing of a blitz, knowing when to bait the quarterback, make him look like you're going deep or more, or you rob that on a robber play, right? Make it look like you're backpedaling. All of a sudden, turn around like you're Asante Samuels and jump in and pick that ball. Those are a lot of things that safeties they've got to play that role. They've got to be able to. It's a chess match between safety and quarterback. And I'll always remember this when Peyton Manning was talking about Ed Reed, and Ed Reed played dumb, made it seem like, you know what, I'm about to lay mosey on over to the other side of the field, make it look like I don't know what I'm doing, but I know exactly what Peyton Manning wants to do. So what does he do? He baits Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning, one of the greatest in this game, fell for it, and Ed Reed, interception. It's a chess match, and it's all about being instinctive and knowing where to be, knowing and anticipating what your quarterback is going to do, and setting yourself up. It's a chess match. It's a long chess match, right? From quarter one to quarter four, it's a battle. So Mike Edwards becoming one of our safeties on the squad, paired up with Taylor Rapp, and who knows who else we decide to bring onto the squad. But Todd Bowles was like, he's instinctive. He's a ball hawk. Lord knows that's exactly what we need. We need a ball hawk. We need a guy that can turn that ball over and bring it back to us, right? Instead of AJ Epenesa, Greg Rousseau. I mean, listen, I ain't going to front it. If these guys can bat the ball down and take that interception, I'll take that, right? But we want those. We want those. I mean, the one play that stands out to me in terms of turning the ball over and being a ball hawk, and this is one of the better interceptions I've seen watching the Bills play, was Micah Hyde absolutely robbing the Patriots. You guys remember the playoff game? He had, was it Nelson Aguilar on the sideline, ready to hit Nelson, and here comes Micah Hyde out of nowhere. Boom, take that thing away from him. I remember that to crisps, to a T, right? And those are the instincts that you need from your safety. And this is what Mike Edwards brings, right? Ball hawk ability, instinctive, and he's smart. He's a smart cat. And to be able to do those two things, you've got to be cerebral. You got to be smart. You got to know the game, right? So glowing remarks coming from former coach Todd Bowles. And then you got Andy Reid talking about, listen, man, Spags and McDermott are kind of the same. So you know that these guys are going to put these guys in great position. And one thing that you cannot fault Sean McDermott, he knows how to set up his defense. He knows how to develop safeties. I mean, look, I always liked Micah Hyde when he came from Green Bay. I thought he was a good player. We didn't know if he was going to be as maintaining the great player that he was when he was in Green Bay to Buffalo. And then you could bring in Poyer. That was a cast off, and Poyer becomes an all pro. Like, you got two all pros. Dude, these guys developed very well. Taron Johnson. Look at Taron Johnson. All pro Taron Johnson developed extremely well. Tre'Davious White going over to the Rams developed pretty well. I know people want to poo-poo all over McDermott, but McDermott always has had his defensive backfield ready to go, legitimate. And what a beautiful thing about this is, you got Babich that has come from the safety spot, then to the linebackers. Now he's running the whole defense. So you know things are going to be great when Mike Edwards comes through. So big shout out to the team bringing Mike Edwards. Andy Reid had this to say. He says he's tremendous instincts. So the word instincts comes in and is great. Why not go that route? So big shout out to Mr. Mike Edwards joining the Bills. And listen, maybe this turns out to be a long-term deal eventually. And if it turns into that and if it works out well, great. I personally would like to add one more safety. And apparently our GM, I don't know if he's talking bullshit or not, but he's like, the door's not closed on Micah Hyde. I don't understand that. What you want to bring Micah Hyde back for? I mean, not that I would not love to have him back, because I love Micah Hyde, but like, we made a decision to go younger, did we not? So what are we doing trying to bring Micah Hyde back? But if he decides to return, my goodness, I'll take it. But the point of all these moves was to get younger, more explosive, and cheaper. So he ain't gonna come back you're gonna have to, you know what I mean, handle that financial part respectfully. You can't disrespect the guy. He's been part of this crew for some time. So don't disrespect him. Give him something that works out well. But anyway, I think the Edwards pickup was a solid under the radar pickup. And this is why I like Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean is one of those cats where he'll bring in a guy and you're like, all right, cool. I guess it's a good pickup. I guess we'll see how that all plays out. And it ends up being a guy like DeQuan Jones. DeQuan Jones comes in and is one of the solid additions to the squad. So it's one of those things where you got to just trust what your GM is doing. At the end of the day, that's what you got to do. You got to trust what your GM is doing. And you can trust Brandon Bean more than you can't trust him. So to me, I'm all for it. If I'm going out of 10, how much I trust Brandon Bean, yo, give me a solid 9. Honestly, give me a solid 9. I was a low 8, but a high 9.4. 9.4, I trust in Bean. So actually, let me give the question out to the chat right now. How much out of 10, if you're rating Brandon Bean out of 10, what are you rating your trust in Brandon Bean out of 10? I'm as low as an 8, as high as a 9.4. 9.4, I trust that brother, man. I trust that he's going to put this team in the right spot, right position. He's going to bring the right pieces to the squad. I mean, high end would be 10, but I mean, not every GM is perfect. So I'm a solid 9.4. That's as high as I'm going to go. What do you guys think? Are you guys giving him a 7? Some people might not trust him. They're like, oh, you know what? He got lucky. If not for Josh Allen, he ain't got nothing. So I'm giving him a 7. I'm giving him a 6. But guess what? He did get Josh Allen. So what now? So you guys give me what you guys think about Brandon Bean and his grade or your trust in him. That's the real question. The question is, what is your trust in Brandon Bean out of 10? And I'm looking at the scores are coming in now. 7.5 from Namdi. Namdi says, you ain't get all my trust, bro. I'm giving you 7.5. Jamel Moore, 7. Damn, those are like mediocre to me, right? 7? Come on, son. You got to give him a little more respect than that. 8.5, I respect. 8.5 would be higher if not for the Vaughn deal. That's the thing. That's why I said there are moments where this guy is top-notch GM, and he's got some moments where he's missed. He's missed. There's no question about it. We know that he's missed. So it happens. But for real, I see that there, for the most part, my man Scott Blakely, what up, 9.9. He's like, yo, all in. He is all in. Charlie Keel, 8.5. Sal gives him an 8. A solid 9 coming from Sean Ticker. I like that. Jay Tech says it's a 9. Yo, listen, I'm with you, man. Truth to hearts. What's up, B? I haven't seen you in a long time, brother. I trust being with my girl while I'm on vacation. Damn, that's how much you trust. Yo, if you can trust Brandon B with your girl and you can go on vacation, bro, that's a 10 out of 10. That's 11 out of 10. That's 11 out of 10. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, man. Brandon Bean's got that southern chatter. You know what I'm saying? You can't always trust them southern cats, man. Them southern cats, that's why I gave him a 9.4, because he's got room for disappointing you. You know what I mean? So he might try to make a pass at your girl while you're on vacation. You just never know. You just never know. Big shout out to my man Signify Knows with a super chat. Comes in and says, hey, I'm giving him a 7. He makes great draft and free agent pickups, but for all the good picks, there's a Kyir, a Cody Ford, and letting Wyatt Teller go. And you know what? You're right. There are those moments. And that's why no GM is perfect, because you're going to have those shoulda, woulda, couldas. Man, I should have kept Wyatt Teller. I should have never got him. I should have not drafted Kyir. I overstepped. I traded up for him. I shouldn't have. I should have just trusted my board. And that my board lied to me with this Kyir pick. I felt like the pressure. I think the pressure was on for him. That's why I think this draft is going to be crucial. Do not fall for the pressure if the receiver of yours is not there. And that's why I have beef with Bills Mafia. And I'm going to let y'all know what my beef is with y'all in just a moment. But I'm going to let y'all kind of jump into the room as we chat it up. But shout out to everybody tuned in from Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. You already know what time it is. It's the BF. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. And we're doing it right now. So that being said, let's keep it rolling with Mike Edwards signing. I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing what my brother's going to do. And we'll see how this all plays out. So let me switch my backdrop right back to the BF. By the way, you guys like this green screen idea? Kind of put up my pictures that way. Does that roll with y'all? Y'all feeling that? I'm trying to figure out what the pulse of the people is, right? So let's switch it back and let's get this thing cracking here. So Brandon Bean had a lot to say this weekend. There's a lot of the NFL owners meetings, people getting into the roles and you know what I mean, sharing their opinions on certain things and so on and so forth. And people got a chance to catch up with Brandon Bean. And I mean, he let us know the things that we already know, right? Tre'Davious White signing with the Rams. You're happy for him. I'm happy for Trey White. You know what I mean? You have a team that took a chance on him and they gave him a 1-year $10 million deal. I think that's apropos. He was slated to make what, 16 mil with us, 16 or 17 mil, making 10 mil. That's pretty damn good coming off an Achilles. So if he comes back and he's rolling, good for him. You want that to happen. I want him to have success. So big shout out to Tre'Davious White. The good thing about these owners meetings, we were able to talk about cap and how much cap the Bills have. And a lot of the questions always persist on, well, how much money do we have, man? I know we were broke at one point. We were broke. So how much money we got? Do we got enough money now? Are we good? Are we balling? No, we're not balling, folks. We are absolutely not balling. We are still broke. We're ballers on a budget. That's what we are. Brandon Bean on a budget, right? So right now we're sitting at six to seven mil is what he said. And don't forget, June 1st, Tre'Davious White, his cap comes off the books. So that's another 10 mil that comes off the books. So that brings us up to what, 17 mil? Then you got to factor in your draft picks. So you're probably spending 5 mil on draft picks, 5 to 6 mil on draft picks, maybe less, depending, right? If we trade up, trade down, that's another conversation to have. And furthermore, you got to figure out, like, they're probably going to bring one more potential free agent. Who knows? I mean, a lot of people have been talking about, yo, you're going to bring Simmons in or not? I don't think we need Simmons, man. I think we're going to be good without. I think we're going to be straight. But there's a lot of good players in free agency right now. So we'll see. By the way, folks are saying, yo, it looks clean, looks professional. I bet. Then we might keep rocking with this and put some pictures up and we'll keep it rolling. So big shout out to everybody tuned in. And let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling. So Brandon Bean lets us know what we are, how we're doing in draft picks, which I love, which is great. Now we've got to deal with the changes that's going to come about, right? Obviously, you know, there's going to be some shuffling, some depth chart shuffling around. Like, what are we really doing? Because right now, you got to really start looking at your depth. All right. Who do we have? Who's our number one receiver? Who's our number two receiver? What do we foresee with Curtis Samuel? What are we doing with him? I mean, are we making him a number two receiver? Is he going to be our guy? Are we ready to roll with what we got? Obviously, I don't think that's going to be the case. We've got a plan for the future. We can't just be in right now. Let's go. We got a plan for the future. You know, Stephon Diggs ain't going to be here forever. He's at least here for another 1 year, maybe two. I don't think he's going to make it past three. So we've got to set up for the future. And this would be the draft to do it because the field, the receiving field is deep, is real deep. So we're about to find out how this all plays out. But that's neither here nor there because I got some things I want to talk to you guys about. So rule changes. All right, let's get into the hip drop tackle. Some might be in for it, some might be not. Listen, as someone that's played football before, because there's a lot of you guys in this chat right now that have played football. So you guys know, some of you guys have been on the offensive side of the ball. Some of you guys have been on the defensive side of the ball. And some of y'all have never been on either side of the football. All you guys have been on is the side of the TV just watching or in the stands, you know what I mean, watching your friend or your whoever. Or some of you guys were just punters and kickers. Who knows? But there's a mixture of y'all in the chat right now that have played some level of football. And if it hasn't been contact football, and any high level, you probably play touch, flag, whatever the case is. Now, from an offensive side of the ball, I'm to the point where I'm with it. If you're going to tackle me, my mindset, if you're going to tackle me like a man up. And if you can take me, you can take me on head on, or if you take me from the side or whatever the case is, then last man standing, we'll see who wins. I mean, if you get dragged because your weight's not up, that's your business. Get your weight up. Offensively speaking, that's how I'm looking at it, especially because I play the RB position. I played a little bit slot and receiver. So, like, that's what I'm thinking, because ain't nobody trying to get all your weight pulling down on me and landing on my ankle or on my foot in a messed up way. And there goes my season, because your punk ass is trying to bring me down from the back and you're dropping all your weight because you're too light in the pants. So that's one way of looking at it. That's one way of looking at it, right? From an offense standpoint, because now you're looking at it from an NFL standpoint. Nobody's trying to watch Mitch Trubisky lead the Bills to the Super Bowl. Am I wrong or am I right? Right? Ain't nobody trying to watch Curtis Samuel and the rest of the crew that we have, Justin Shorter. Like, ain't nobody trying to see all that. They're trying to see Stephon Diggs. They're trying to see Josh Allen. They're trying to see your stars play ball. But when some dude hip drop tackles you because they're too light in the pants and they can't handle that, that's a problem. Offensively, that's my beef. So I'm all with it. I'm with the rule. Yo, you're not going to just drop your hip because you can't tackle. If you want to get dragged for a ride, call your friends. Call your friends to bring me down, because I'm taking you for a ride. It's just what it's going to be. Get yourself in the weight room, and if you can bring me down, bring me down. Offensively speaking, that's what I'm seeing. All right? As a defender, how the hell you want me to play football, man? My job as a defender is to bring that brother down by any means necessary, right? Back in the day, if I had to pull you down from your damn eye sockets and bring you down, you coming down. That's just the way shit was, right? Obviously, you got a couple rule changes and so on and so forth, but that's the predicament this league is in. Y'all keep making these damn changes, making it difficult for the defense to do their job. How y'all want me to do my job? So you know what? If you're making it more difficult to do my job, guess what I'm going to do? When it's time for me to get my contract, pay me more. My price just went up as a defender, because now you're asking me to do almost the impossible. How do you want me, as a hybrid player, I can play nickel, I can play a little safety, and sometimes they'll put me in the box to play a little linebacker, right? I'm probably 6 feet, 219, and I got a 6'3", 240-pound running back coming my way. Bro, I'm bringing you down by any means necessary. If I have to get you from the side and just hold you from your waist and drop my weight on your ass so I can bring you down, if that's the only way, that's how I'm going to do it. And now you're going to penalize me? Well, guess what, folks? The NFL has made that rule change. They're going to ban the hip drop. And if you get caught doing the hip drop, guess what? The refs are going to be calling you for the flag. So it's a 15-yarder and an automatic first down. So are you with that rule or not? And here's the deal. The refs already have enough. If I'm a ref, now let's look at it from the ref's perspective, right? We've looked at it from the offensive perspective. We looked at it from the defensive perspective. Right. Let's look at it from the ref's perspective. I have so much to pay attention to. Right. I know there's the back judge and there's a side and there's the ref in the middle. And there's a head ref. There's like seven or eight refs on the field. I get that part. Everyone's got their responsibilities. But don't come and tell me that now I have to watch how a guy tackles. And I have to deem if that was a hip or not, or whatever the case is. Fam, knock it off, man. If I'm a ref, I ain't calling shit. I'm letting that thing slide. Yo, that was a tackle. I didn't see anything wrong with that. And if you want me to make that call, you're going to have to go from the top. And the top's going to have to come down and say, yo, you have to call that, man. Call that. But it's not. I have to be the one to call that and make it blatant. So to keep the game regular and keep it moving, bro, a tackle's a tackle, man. Unless it's one of those things where it's blatant, where the guy jumps up and comes down on the man's legs, bro, it's too hard for these guys to do, man. That's way too hard. You're asking the refs to do way too much, right? And then on top of that, then we get pissed at the refs for making horrible calls. And then furthermore, when these refs make these calls and we blatantly know they're wrong, y'all don't want to look at the replay and say, he got it wrong. Oh, it's going to slow the game down. Well, then cut the bullshit and quit making these rule changes. We're trying to make the game safer. No, you're trying to make the game more alive. You're trying to make it more fun for the fans in the stands to see all the glory of scoring. I love a good defensive game. I love when a defense is shutting shit down on the offense and the offense can't do anything. Love it. But that means you gotta, you mean, come with what it comes with. It comes with, I gotta bring your ass down, and you have to avoid from me bringing you down. I don't want the zebras to get in the way. Don't get in the way. It's between him and I. He's coming at me, I'm coming at his ass, and you coming down. That's as simple as that. And if I have to hip drop my ass, I'm gonna have to do that. And that's the perspective of the defender and the ref. I don't know. Did you see that? Did you see that as a hip drop? Well, from my angle, it looked like a regular tackle. But from my angle, it looked like a freaking hip drop. So what are we going to do now? Too much problems, man. You're creating too much problems for these poor refs. And if these poor refs get lambasted on national TV by a player, by a coach, by a GM, now people are getting fined. Bro, it's a whole mess. It's a whole mess. How you guys feel about that? And give me perspectives. If you're looking at it from the offensive perspective, are you for it? Because there are some players like Kenyon Drake came out and said, yo, I lost the season because of this shit. I lost the season. I lost money because of this shit. And this is what it comes down to. Offensive players, yo, I'm losing money, right? If you're a fringe player, you're not a, you know, maybe not a starter. You had an opportunity. You finally got your opportunity to get on the field and prove that you can play in this league. And then you get an unfortunate tackle. Somebody comes down on you like that. There goes your opportunity. There goes your money. There probably goes your career. So this is the other side of this whole thing, man. It's just, there's just so much into it. And here's the thing. It comes down to money because if I'm a defensive coordinator and I've got to coach you up differently to make you guys make these tackles and so on and so forth. And if you're not doing your job and I have a guy that's too scared to hip drop and make a tackle. Now he lets a runner get out of the way or he runs for another 15 yards. Negative play on the defender. Negative play and negative look on the defensive coordinator. So by the end of the season, you're sitting here, look, man, your defense is trash, bro. So we're going to have to move in a different direction. You're out of a job. I'm not blaming tackling on it. I'm not saying coach is going to be losing the job it's a negative look for the defense, man. There's just too much for the defensive coordinator, defensive player to try to worry about it. Just play ball, man. See man, hit man, take the ball, and that's it, man. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. That was always the rule. See man, hit man. That's it. But all these stupid rules coming in and you trying to change the game, yo, I'm getting sick of it. But it's been banned. So we're about to find out how much this impacts the game. How often this happens. I mean, Mark Andrews got brought down from that. And he called it, was just a fluke, man. Sometimes shit happens. It was a fluke. It's not that the man meant to do it. It just happens, man. Sometimes it does happen. When you land on someone like that, what you gonna do? I gotta bring you down by any means necessary. That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. No more, no less. That's what I gotta do. So now you're gonna tell me, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that? I mean, look, this was already banned. I get this part, right? You can't bring a guy down from his horse collar. That's horse collar. You can't do it, right? They banned it. I get it because when a guy's bringing you down, you got to try to bring him down by any means necessary. And that's the defensive part, right? By any means necessary. I got to bring you down. So guess what? They got rid of the horse collar. All right. So I can't bring you down by your collar. Fine. Then I'm going to bring you down with a hip drop. Simple as that. I'll hold on to your waist, and I'm going to bring you down accordingly. Because this being banned has made people alternate to this. So now you've eliminated both. So what are we trying to do here? We got to push these. I mean, I was about to cuss. You got to push these guys to the ground? I got to two-hand touch you to the ground? Fam, I'm about to two-hand touch you to a 60-yard touchdown. Come on, son. Shit is getting ridiculous. It's getting silly. Getting ridiculous. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan. So that's my beef with this whole hip drop. That's my beef with all this jazz. I'm not a fan. But as a ref, I'm hoping these refs just say, yo, play ball, man. Let these guys play. If it's blatant and I see it, then I'm gonna call. But if it's like I ain't sure, man, let that roll. That's the way I look at it. How do you guys feel about that? How you guys are you in it? Are you for it? Are you calling it a joke? Holding calls are a joke. I listen, man. This is the name of the game. It's name of the game, man. It's just the name of the game. The game changes. My man, Truth to Heart, says, yo, honestly, Rico, I understand the offensive point of view. I do too as well. But look at the injuries that hurt defensive players by trying to be safe while offense gets to lower their shoulders and go full speed. It ain't fair. You're damn right it ain't fair. I'm coming in as a running back, and I'm like, I'm sitting here, but and I'm gonna take it further, right? I'm coming in as a quarterback, and you don't know if I'm Josh Allen. I'm a big guy. You've seen what Josh Allen's been able to do. Josh Allen has either stiff-armed your ass to the ground. He's either hurdled you. So as a defender, you're like, yo, are you going to embarrass me in front of 60,000 people and run my ass over or hurdle me? Or do I stand on my business and you decide what you're going to do, but you're going to get this leather. You're going to get these pads. So if Josh Allen decides to slide, well, you better slide early enough, bro. Because if you slide too late where I don't know if you're going to hit me or not, I'm putting you down. But guess what? Flag. Bro, these defenders are like Roger Goodell. You know what? Strap some pads on, Roger Goodell. Strap some pads on and let the 6'5 quarterback run at you. You tell me how you're going to bring me down. Come on, Roger. Like, you're the commish, man. You're the commish. You're the one that's implementing this shit, man. You're getting these guys talking about it and all that bullshit, man. Get one of these owners. Get Les Snead. Get Pagula. You put all 32 freaking owners on the field. Put all them guys on the field and let these bozos go and play. Let me see how well you guys tackle. Golly, man. Y'all have changed the game way too damn much. Let these boys play. Shit is it's a travesty, man. But yeah, you're right, man. The offensive point of view, I see it. I get it. But the defensive point of view is like, yo, y'all are trash, bro. You guys are just making this game stupid. So guess what? When it's contract time, bitch, my price went up from 22 mil. I want 28. I can't give you 28. Well, listen, I've been doing the job with all these rule changes that's happened in this league. I still get the job done. I'm still an all-pro. I'm still a pro bowler. You paying me. Y'all owners are the one who decided this, bitch. It's called the owners meeting. Y'all go through this shit. You guys all voted on that, bitch. So guess what? Pay me, bitch. That's the way I look at it. And if you guys feel that, smash that like. Are we with me? I mean, shit. You guys might see it differently. You guys might see it differently. You might say, you know what? It's safer for the game. It's this, that, and the third. You guys let me know. But if you guys are feeling me, smash that like for your boy. And let's keep it rolling. So that being said, let's move on to the next rule change. One that I'm actually in favor of, and that is the kickoff. The kickoff. That's what I'm looking at. And guys, I'm gonna tell you right now, I actually like the kickoff rule. I actually like the kickoff rule. I mess with the kickoff rule. I think it's going to heighten the game more, right? And there's levels to this, right? Let's talk about it first and foremost, okay? So this is how it's going to be set up, folks. You guys probably have seen, I have a video that I'm going to play for you guys in just a moment that kind of gives you a better idea of how it is, but I kind of wanted to talk on it just a little bit more. So this is how it's set up. Ball's being kicked from the 40. You can't move, you can't budge until the receiver catches that football, right? He retrieves that football. That's when your blue X's, your defenders, can get after it. The beautiful thing about this is, as these guys, as the dots, the circles, right, are standing there ready to get your blocks in, this is where your special teams players are going to make their money. Now, this is the event. I see more advantage in this whole situation because now you're going to pay premium for guys that are big-time special teamers. Can you get open? When I say get open, can you shed a block? Can you rip? Can you use your speed? Can you use your athleticism to get past this one guy? Because you get past that one guy, yo, I'm out of here. It's not like there's a punt cover where you got two guys trying to block you and you're trying to get through it. No, you got one. And
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. I'm going to look for the lamest guy on the squad, and I'm getting your ass. I'm out. And now it's one-on-one, me and the return man, depending on how it is. It's going to be a lot of strategy. So there's going to be a lot of paying attention to your special teamers. So going forward, special teams people are going to now be known for, okay, there's a big contract coming to this guy because this new kickoff rule is forcing guys to return the football, which means it lets me do my job. Let me tell you something. Just last year, It was the worst in NFL history, the return rate. The return rate was 21 point, what? I wrote it down. It was 21.7%. 21.7% was the kickoff rate, the kickoff return rate. That's absolutely horrible. 2 times out of 10 times, that's when you get in the ball. Get out of here, bro. That's trash. So in order for you guys to have some excitement to change the game, you got to have the kickoff. So to me, I'm all for the kickoff. And how it's set up, it's simple. You got your start line and you got your setup. So that zone in between your kickoff and your setup zone, that's where all that contact is going to be happening, right? Now, that landing zone is crucial. You kick that football in that landing zone, whether it bounces, whether they retrieve it in there, whatever the case is, you catch that football, you have no ability to fair catch that bitch. No, you taking that shit out. And either you get lit up or you're going to light us up for 60 yards or an 80-yard touchdown. It lands in the end zone. Obviously, it's a touchback. And away we go. But that's what the league is trying to avoid, touchbacks. There's way too many touchbacks happening. So get rid of that shit and let's roll. So to give you a good idea of how this all plays out, I got a video. I found this YouTube video that was explained extremely well with illustration. So peep this. Let me know how you guys think, and let's roll into the comment section. So get your comments in the comment section, and let's get this rolling. So check this video out.
NFL is adopting the XFL kickoff rules, but there are a few differentiations. We're going to tell you who that man was here in just a minute. So the kickoff will start at the 35-yard line, and the circles are members of the kickoff team. So they're actually in the opponent's territory's 40-yard line. Then the blockers of the kickoff return unit can only be between the 30 and 35-yard line, and none of the players can move until the football is touched or hits the ground inside the landing zone, which is also the red zone, right, from the 20-yard line on in. So if the ball hits a landing zone and rolls into the end zone, it is a touchback to the 20-yard line. As you can see, any kick that hits the landing zone must be returned. Okay, so once again, they are trying to prevent touchback. So if you let the ball just roll into the end zone, well, you're not going to get as great field position at the 20-yard line opposed to the 25-yard line where normal touchbacks used to be. Also, there's incentives for the kickoff team to actually kick the football into the landing zone, because if you don't, the possession begins at the 40-yard line, so the ball must be in play at some point, okay? If the ball enters the end zone in the air, the receiving team can return it or down it and take the possession at the 35-yard line. So you want to kick the football inside that landing zone, so you can prevent them from having good field position at the 35-yard line. So there you go. Those are basically the rules, but here's the thing. No onside kicks until the fourth quarter, and you have to let the officials know onside.
So here's the deal. You guys catch the drift here. I think he did an excellent job in explaining how this all works out. So how, and this is the thing, you can't just say, oh, this is a great rule. There's more to this. There's more to this. Because now, how do you attack the draft now? Now you got to look at a player like that is a dual threat, a real dual threat that can really get to do a good job returning the football, because 20% of the time ain't nothing happening. 20% of the time is yo, the kickoff rate is what it is. 2 times out of 10, that's when the ball's getting returned. Yo, why am I paying you this money? No wonder we had to move on from Deontay Hardy. No wonder we had to move on from obviously Naeem Hines. Like, we don't return the ball enough, right? These guys are kicking the football right into the end zone. So now you got to look at it. Holy crap, hold on now. Now I really got to look at it. I need to get a specialist, because now we're going to start returning the football. So you need someone that can really get that. So Cordell Patterson, bro, if we had an opportunity to sign Cordell Patterson, that would have been perfect. Cordell Patterson, where do you go? You go to you went to Steelers? Cordell Patterson go to the Steelers? That's huge. So what happens for us? Who do we have on the roster that could really help us out in that department? Could it be this guy here? Could it be Curtis Samuel? Could Curtis Samuel come in and be the guy that handles business? Let me move all over so you can see this picture, right? Could Curtis Samuel be the guy that does the job? Get him back there, because they already talk about, hey, man, he's going to be pretty much running the football. He's going to be catching the football. He's going to be everything on the offensive side of the ball. Do we dare dabble by putting him in to return kicks? Does that make us an even more dangerous team? Fan. Pierre's like, "Ooh, look at the producer go. Hey, man, I'm just trying to keep it interactive for the people so they know what's going on. You know what I mean? So does Curtis Samuel now have a dual threat role? Now he becomes not only just an offensive side of the ball player, but now you put him returning kicks with this new rule? Because I'm going to tell you right now, a kick returner is all about instincts and finding the hole and hitting that hole quick, hitting that hole hard. So with this new kickoff rule, while these guys are getting busy at the 30-yard line, yo, I'm scoping to see what's going on. Let me tell you something. For those that have played ball, sometimes the best situation for you is not even catching the football and catching the football and kind of going through it. It's when the ball starts bouncing all over the place where you can kind of, and you think it's messy. Now the defenders are running down. They're like, what's happening? So they kind of break down and start breaking down a little bit, a little too soon. Then you're kind of getting the football, scanning real quick, and finding your lane and going. So there's a little uncertainty. When you catch the football, it's just straightforward. When the ball is bouncing all over the place, it's different. I bring this up because you need instincts as a return man. And as a kick returner, you need instincts. I mean, let me show you something real quick, because this is what it's going to look like when these kickoffs are going to start. Like, here's a live action shot from the XFL. Check this one. I got two clips for you guys.
Hunter Nicewander is back to kick it away. Keenan Reynolds for Seattle. That kick better go beyond the 20, and it does. To the 15, here's Reynolds up the middle of the field, out to the 31.
I'm telling you, you get a receiver that is quicker than fast. I know I hate hearing that. He's quicker than fast. Well, this would be a good one. One guy that has great acceleration that can get to top speed quickly. You find yourself your hole, boom, instant offense, you're gone. Right? Here's another clip.
In D.C., and we are underway in San Antonio. Can't move till the receiver touches it. Powell gathered at the 5. Can't find the sideline, and he takes it up to the 20.
So this now gives more emphasis to your special teams coach. He's got to strategize. He's got to figure out, okay, what's the best way for me to get these guys rolling? What's the best way for me to set these guys up? How am I going to stunt this? This is actually going to be really cool to see the NFL implement this new rule. And it's a one-year trial. They're going to test it out for 1 year. They're going to see, okay, is there going to be less concussions or more concussions from
talking to XFL folks, they're talking about there's the same. There was the same amount of concussions, same amount of bullshit, same amount of whatever. Sometimes these concussions happen on just the slightest, weirdest angle. It may not even a hard hit, just a hit to the sweet spot. Boom, concussed. It's different. But anyway, I kind of like it. Question now becomes, who returns the football? Does Curtis Samuel take on those duties? We'll soon find out. We'll soon find out. If you guys enjoyed this this segment, smash that like as we're here. Rico's having too much fun now. I always have fun doing this shit, bro. I always have fun. You know what I mean? So I have to give it to him. Pierre's been on me. He's like, yo, use the green screen, bro. Use the green screen. I've had this green screen sheet forever. I've had it forever. I just never set it up. So now that we're here now, baby. We here. So that being said, Curtis Samuel, could he be the guy that returns kicks? I don't know. We paid him a lot of money. I don't know if I want him being the guy that returns the football. I just don't know if I want that. Do we go back and say, hey, Deonte Hardy, now I have a role for you that I think would be conducive. But is he big enough? Is he got the size for it? I don't know if I'm trying to see Deonte Hardy back on the squad again. I'll just keep it above. I don't know if I'm ready to see that shit. Real talk. But for someone that has played ball and has played ball for some time, with these new rule changes, I'm gonna tell you, the hip drop, I totally understand the offensive player. The offensive player is like, if you can't tackle, if you don't hit the gym, if you don't get your weight up, and you can't tackle me, your business, not mine. So let me drag your ass for 15 yards, and that'll embarrass you enough that you'll get yourself in the weight room, and you'll be able to tackle me. Simple as that. But if you can't tackle me, your business. Like Josh Jacobs. Bro, how do you bring a guy like Josh Jacobs down? That's a tough, tough bill. That's a tough bill. So we'll see. Oh, Carlos H. Hamler. I forgot if we got Hamler. So maybe Hamler just deals with that position itself. And that's a steal. If he becomes a star in dealing with that business, that is an absolute steal. Anyway, so those are the rule changes that we have going forward. So I got a couple more segments before I get out of here, folks. And that is my guy, Brandon Bean. Brandon Bizzle. I'm gonna call him Brandon Bizzle right now. So Brandon Bizzle was talking to Pat McAfee and the Pat McAfee crew. And you know how Pat McAfee does. He likes to, get things rolling and ask questions and pepper you with questions. And Brandon Bean has never been one to kind of side eye and not really kind of give you the goods. Like he'll keep it real with you. And did he reveal too much? Did Mr. Brandon Bean reveal too much, or was it all some bullshit? Him just chatting, getting the people going? Was it provocative? Right? I don't know what he said, but it was provocative. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a whole bunch of bull, and we have no idea what he's gonna do. Or he's blatantly telling us he's moving up. So let me play you guys a clip, and you guys let me know what your thoughts are on this, and we can kind of discuss a little bit going into this. And then it brings me into the beef that I have with Bills Mafia. Oh, yeah, I got beef with y'all. We're going to talk about it.
Right now, everything's like lying season. Mm-hmm. Like, we just had Kevin O'Connell on here, and we just peppered him about acquiring another first-round pick. Like, you guys are bundling. You're moving up for a quarterback. How are you trying to sort through everything? And with where you guys are in the draft, what is kind of your mindset going in here?
Yeah, I mean, we've got 11 picks, which is good. We tried to...
Are we bundling? We're moving up?
Bundling. Well, we're always listening. You nailed it. Because, to me, you build your board, and if you see a guy you like, I mean... I get antsy. The local Buffalo media knows I've traded up way more than I've traded back. So I tell people to hold me down sometimes. don't let me do it. But like last year, Dalton Kincaid got close, and we went after him. We obviously traded up way back when for Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds. So I think my phone rings a lot because people know who they're dealing with.
Bean will deal.
If Brandon Bean gets to the wheel, Brandon Bean will deal. And that's exactly what he's trying to let us know. This brother likes to trade up. And nobody acquires picks. Ain't no way we're picking 11 freaking players. Ain't no way. We're not picking 11 players. We got $4-5 million that we got to pay these draft picks. Bruh, he ain't picking 11 players. Cut it out.
you're naturally supposed to get seven picks. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't picking 11 players. So cut it out, Brandon B. We know the jig is up. Real question is, who are you trading up for, bro? Who are you trading up for? And what are you trading up for? That's what it really comes down to. Because Brandon being with Deal, he ain't lying. He traded up to get Josh Allen. You guys already know what time it was. We were picking, what, 22nd? We traded from 22nd down to the 12th. We gave up Cordy Glenn. And then we went from 12 to 7 with the Bucks, and we drafted Josh Allen. And then we came back into the first round and got Tremaine Edmonds. And then we traded up for Kyrie Elam, and then we traded up for Dalton Kincaid. Fam, he's a trade-up guy. Trade-up Bean. That's what he is, man. I got to try to figure out a nickname for Bean when he trades up. But that's what it is. Like, he's going to trade up. And the question is, what does he trade up for? Who does he trade up for? Are we drafting a receiver for real? Are we really drafting a receiver? And this is where I tie this into the beef that I have with Bills Mafia. Some, not all, some. Should I get to the beef? Should I just get right to the beef? Because I think they tie in together. They tie in together, folks. So here's my beef with... Folks, it's an interactive show today, so we're going to get right to the business and right to it. So here's my beef with Bills Mafia. Every freaking year, right, we talk about the defense let us down yet again. The defense. Oh, I get all the eye rolls. Like my 12-year-old daughters when they eye roll. That's what some of y'all Bills Mafia are like. The defense. You see Josh Allen. Josh Allen's the guy that took us there. And if not for that, we'd be Super Bowl champs in 2020, right? We would have been. Josh Allen was epic. Gabe Davis was epic. If not for the defense, we let Josh Allen down. Every year I hear the same spiel. Every year. It's no question. Fire Brandon. Fire Sean McDermott. It's the defense's fault. The defense didn't do enough. We did not get enough pass rush. The DBs were playing soft. They couldn't do shit. They were just good. Josh Allen's the king. And heard it all. But yet, every year, oh, there we go again, drafting defense. We need to go offense. But yet, we complain about the defense letting us down, but you want to draft offense. Make it make sense for me, folks. If the defense is letting us down, don't you want to bolster your defense? Offense has never been the issue. We put points on the board. We were unscathed last year offensively. We had no injuries. We were balling. Defense is what let us down, did we not? But yet, all I hear is we need to get ourselves an old lineman. We need to get ourselves a receiver. Trade up for a receiver with a deep-ass freaking receiver field. Are you kidding me? Come on. Make it make sense. If you're going to get your team to develop and be better, you want to improve where you weren't great. Defense. Offense did the job. Offense got the job done. Defense is what failed us. But yet, Bills Mafia is always talking about, we need to draft a receiver. Get that receiver. For what? The top dogs in this draft are probably going to top 12, top 15. Brandon Bean ain't trading all the way up to 15. Trust me. Believe that. You can throw the draft away if he does that. He ain't doing it. If you're going to draft somebody, you draft defense. You draft a pillar on the defense. Brandon Bean mentioned it. I have to nail this. He said it in other words, but I have to get this right. I have to start playing young players. So you can't just take a whim on a receiver. Bruh, Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in the game. Guess what round he got drafted? Second. We have a player on our team right now that's one of the best in the game. Fifth round draft pick. one of the best receivers in Bills history. Stevie Johnson, seventh round. Bro, it's about your freaking, if your scouting team is good enough to get the job done and get the right guy, you ain't got to draft a guy in the first round, a receiver, especially as deep as this damn class is. You draft defense because that's where you need it. Take a look. Do you like what we have at safety? Do you like what we have at corner? Are you content with what we have at corner? Christian Benford. Rasul Douglas. Are you good? Kyrie Elam. You good with Kyrie Elam? Are we good at linebacker? I think we're good at linebacker. I think we're all right. Defensive end. Von Miller. Will he return to Von Miller? Who knows? AJ Epenesa. Is he lighting the board up for you? Let's keep it real. Daquan Jones. He's got another year left. Maybe. Ed Oliver had a great year. Bro. Get on the defensive line and get to it. Get someone that affects the game. Get someone that changes the game, bro. I put a poll out. Which would you rather? You think I just did it just for fun, just to be cute? Which affects the game for you more? Would you rather a tough light corner that can stop everybody? That's just a shutdown corner? Or do you want an elite pass rusher? Bro. Let me see if I can find the damn poll. Damn near 80% of y'all were talking about get an elite pass rusher. So what are we talking about here, folks? Come on now. Am I talking shit? Yo, if I'm talking shit, let me know. Put that little poop emoji sign in the chat. But if you see where I'm going with this, smash that like. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. You know what I'm saying? And keep it rolling. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to let y'all know. So I'm opening my page here so I can show y'all what I'm trying to get to here. I just don't get it, folks. I'm about to give you guys the poll. I'm not gonna give you my poll, but I'll give you the poll. It was like 80% of y'all were talking about elite defensive pass. There we go. Let me just open this bad boy up just so y'all see. Let me share my screen with y'all and you guys have an idea. Let me give you guys an idea. Then y'all can rock with me. Can you guys see the screen? All right, let me open this sucker up for you guys. So every year we see huge contracts awarded to certified lockdown corners and pass elite pass rushers, right? Both positions can really affect an opposing team's game plan. Age old question, which would you pick? Lockdown corner, 23%. I had 194 votes. I really wish I had 1,000 votes at least. Right? But 194 people voted and 76% of them said elite pass rusher. But yet, get ourselves a receiver in the first round when we have an elite receiver already on the team. My mind is blown. That's my beef, man. Cut it out, man. Get a player that affects this defense. Get a player that's young and that's going to be a pillar on this team for quite some time. The depth at receiver is massive. You can get McConklin or whatever that cat's name, the white receiver. Bro, you can probably get him in the second round, no problem. And he does inside, outside, he does it all. Pierre the Kingpin comes in and says, yo, here's the flip side though. Some teams you just can't stop regardless of the defense. Maybe it's time to average 40 plus a game and see how that works. Yes. And you know what? Maybe you can average 40 points a game. But we just need the quarterback to stop giving the damn football away. How about that? You guys think I'm just going to let Josh off? Just let Josh off the hook? Quit throwing interceptions. Quit giving the damn football away. And maybe we do put 40 points on the board. But my quarterback keeps giving the damn football away in the regular season. He does tighten up when he does get to the playoffs, though. Love that. But my brother just giving that shit away in the regular season. We can't put 40 points up when we do that. Come on now. Let's keep it a buck. And if you see who keeps knocking us out of the playoffs every time, it's the same old Pat Mahomes and that offense. You got to affect the pass effectively. Let me tell you something. Let's go back into memory lane. Josh Allen has a two wide open players. Stephon Diggs on the crosser, and you've got Khalil Shakir on the post. Khalil Shakir was gonna get that touchdown. Ah, but fuck, something happened. What happened was it? What can somebody remind me? Can somebody refresh my memory? What happened? Who affected that play? What was it? Who affected it? There's something that happened in that. Oh, that's right. Elite pass rusher Chris Jones got up in Deion Dawkins' grill and affected the whole play. Game done. Oh, but you can't find those type of players. Well, guess what? That's why Brandon Bean is paid a lot of money. The scout team is paid a lot of money. Go find that motherfucker and bring him to you. Bring him here. Bring him to Buffalo. All this hooting and hollering that we're doing for a damn receiver. No, bro. Affect the defense, man. Chris Jones is a monster. He wrecks the game. How you think the Rams won that Super Bowl? Yo, 99. Problem. 99 is a problem. Aaron Donald was a problem, bro. We need that player that is going to affect that defensive line. And if we have to, I mean, we tried it. We tried it last time. We doubled up with Greg Rousseau. We doubled up with Boogie Basham. Boogie Basham, 2 years on the squad, he gone. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with Greg Rousseau in his fifth-year option. Do we pick it up? Do we not? Are you going to pay him $15 million? Probably. They're probably going to. But you want to? Is he worth it? Has he given you enough? Honest question, because I like Greg Rousseau. I think Greg Rousseau is fantastic. But has he given you enough for you to be like, yo, pick up that fifth-year option, bro. Give him $15 million, $16 million. Give him that. If you guys are for real, be for real. Are you ready to give Greg Rousseau $15 million? Has he given you, has he shown you enough that, yeah, $15 million is good. We can give him that. Be real. Talk to me. Terrence Bland says, yo, Greg might be out of here. Hell no. Dorothy says, yes, pay him $15 million. Chat says, not yet. PVC, no way Rousseau worth that money. Okay. So now you and I are on the same page. Fuck a receiver, man. We don't need a receiver in the first round. Pardon my language. I apologize. We ain't got to get one unless they fall to our lap. Unless Brian Thomas falls right in our lap at 28. Cool. We ain't got to move nowhere. We good. Now the real question is who? Who in the first round that is worth trading up for? Because Brandon Bean's like, yo, hold me back, bro. Hold me back. Sometimes they got to hold me back because I'm ready to trade up. That's the question. Who? Who defensively can affect the defense and affect the game enough? Buffalo Sack Attack says, yo, if the kid from LSU is on the board, when we pick, you take him. If he falls. Being mad we didn't get a third, not he moving up. Yeah, I mean, he wanted that third really bad, but he fought for it. He couldn't get it. So the age-old question really comes down to, if you're not taking a receiver, which I don't think we should, if you're grabbing someone in the first round, you better make it someone that affects the game. And the issue that the Bills have had has never been offense. Offense has never been our issue since 17's been in the game. Especially with him going into his third year. Ever since his third year, when he just blew in the third year, he's been on since. And we've always been a potent offense. So who is it? I ain't going to do it. So y'all let me know. I'm going to leave that open-ended. I got to do my homework too in looking at defense. I got to do my homework. But we got to start looking at who affects the game enough, man. Is it a safety? Is there a bona fide safety that really can change this game? That's instinctual, that can just, you know it. There's greatness about him. Maybe there isn't one in the first round. Is there a defensive tackle that really changes the game? Maybe it's a DT. Maybe a DT falls to us at 28. And that's the pick. He is an absolute monster in the middle. He pushes the pocket. He's helping Ed Oliver eat. Maybe it's the defensive tackle that we need in this. I have no idea, but I'm not ready to go receiver in the first round. I'm going to tell you right now. At first, I was there. But I'm going to tell you right now. I got somebody in mind, but I ain't going to say it. So, that being said, that's my beef with Bills Mafia, man. Y'all need to knock it off with this receiver shit. Y'all just following the next man's, man. Yo, really look at the roster. Look at the team. Look at what we need. Like, what you going to do? Like, we got Curtis Samuel. You're paying this guy $8 million a year. You got Stephon Diggs. If you guys think that Stephon Diggs is scrub and he ain't who he is, y'all are bugging, man. Absolutely bugging. Crazy. I ain't trying to hear that. You got Dalton Kincaid. He's going to be a budding star in this thing. You got James Cook. Bro, offense is not the issue. We can put points on the board. We just brought in Ronald Curry as the new QB coach that's worked with Joe Brady. You got Josh Allen going to his second year with Joe Brady, 2.5 with Joe Brady. Bro, this offense is going to be no problem. We're going to put points on the board. Problem is, we got to keep the points off the board. With the way these rule changes be going, bro, get on the defense. Get on the defense, man. Russo had a foot all year. Did you read my comment? No, sorry, Richard. I missed that. Regardless if he had a foot issue or not, are you ready to give him $15 million? Honestly, are you ready to give him $15 million? Is he worth that money? And I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like Greg Russo. Greg Russo was I might actually hit Greg Russo up and have him on the show. He gave us an opportunity to interview him when he was a first-round draft pick rookie. He was like, yo, you know what? Rico Report, let's do it. I might hit my brother back up and say, yo, man, come through. Let's talk. I like him. And I'm going to tell you right now, he probably knows that he needs to have a massive year. He does. Because if you looked at Greg Russo and Jalen Phillips, who do you think has had the better pro career thus far? Forget about injuries and all that stuff. Who's had the better pro career? Be real. So, that being said, folks, that's my time. That is my time. If you guys enjoyed the show, do me a favor, smash that like and subscribe to the channel. If you guys have not subscribed to the channel, shame, shame, shame. We are trying to get to 30,000 subscribers. We're at 27,000 right now. We need to get that. We need to get that up. So if you're not subscribed, subscribe, man. Do your job. Get to the YouTube channel. Subscribe. If you have not followed us on Twitter, get us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. If you have not followed us on Instagram, we got over 100,000 followers on Instagram. Hit us up. That's where we got the best content. I think me and my guy Z-Bot, we're going to be going live tomorrow. So tune in and we'll get to you guys another time. So folks, that's it for me. I enjoyed the show. Wifey said you got an hour to be on this thing. I said, yes, ma'am. I oblige. And I got to go work tonight anyway. So it's a long weekend. It's Easter weekend. Good Friday. Get to church. You know what I'm saying? Easter weekend. Go all that good stuff. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll try to catch you guys on Friday. Maybe not, because it's Good Friday. So I might chill out. So we'll catch you guys on the flip side, man. It's the Rico Report. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. Don't forget, smash that like when you guys get out of here. It's your boy, and I'm gone. Y'all have a great night. Catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible.
The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.